And while we have a little, what I call a staff meeting, but it's really just whoever comes in the meeting. It's our community meeting, the prayer room. So let's just continue in prayer. Lord, we just ask you to be in our midst, Lord. Lord, you are the one who walks through the lampstands of your church, God. God, we are one of those lampstands, Lord, however small it might be. And so, God, we ask you to be in our midst, to walk among us. Lord, that our hearts would be so awake to you and so dull to the world. Instead of dull to you and awake to the world, God, I pray that you would do the great reversal in our hearts, Lord, that we would truly, truly be walking in such union with you, such communion with you, God, that we would feel what you feel, God, for you are actively involved. You aren't distant. You aren't a far away God. You are right here. And your heart is burdened and hurts. Jesus, the great intercessor, even now, is weeping before the throne of the Lord, always making intercession for us. Lord, we want to join with this God-man, the man Christ Jesus, in all of his intercession, because his heart hurts for every single soul. He paid a dear, dear price for every single soul. He even loves the sparrow that flew into the window and died. How much more, people? God, attune our hearts to your heart that we might be greatly sensitized to you, Lord, to your heart. Thank you, Lord. I just have a couple of scriptures I wanted to bring out. I've been reading Count Zinzendorf. Do you know that you can read Count Zinzendorf? Like he lived in 1700s. Well, Dan showed me how to do this advanced search on my computer at the library, you know? And like you can get these books and they like send them to Livermore Library and go pick them up. This one came from Azusa Pacific University. This is Writings in English, Sermons by Count Zinzendorf. Now, Count Zinzendorf was the great leader of the Moravians. He was a count. He was noble, nobility, rich. He had a huge estate, and he was full of the Lord Jesus. And he took on refugees, Christian persecuted people, and several hundred of them lived on his estate. And they began a prayer meeting. They had what they called the Moravian Pentecost in 1722, I believe it was. And this prayer meeting went nonstop for 120 years and birthed what we call the first Protestant missions movement. And John Wesley himself was really affected by the Moravians. He encountered them on a ship going across the ocean and saw their humility. And he wondered if he was even saved because their devotion to the Lord was so great. And so, anyways, once I found out, you can, you know, just type in Zinzendorf, you know. All these books come up. I'm, like, ordering too many books, more than I can read. But, and then I just, like, open them up and start reading randomly, like, what does Count Zinzendorf say? Anyways, I just want to share a short paragraph. But these old books are awesome, so I highly recommend you find the ancient books that have withstood the test of time. Because the ones that have withstood the test of time, these can be mentors to us. A lot of times we don't have mentors. We really don't. I mean, who do we look up to? There might be some people around us, but I'm finding that these books are kind of like, they mentor me. I learn from them. So Benzendorf at one point, he says, now faith in distress has the infallible promise that one shall be helped. The man having faith in distress shall obtain grace. No one shall come in vain, no one shall ask in vain. This was the faith in distress of the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I love you as an unknown Lord of whom I know nothing, whom I have never known, but I hear now that you have a kingdom and that you are hanging here because you have said that you are a king. It may indeed be true. I believe you. Now, when you come to the place where your kingdom is, do think of me, do remember me then. The Lord instantly agreed, today you will be with me in paradise. So I just wanted to talk about the prayer in distress. Faith in distress and prayers out of the place of distress. A couple of scriptures are coming to my mind. Acts chapter 2, the passage I read this morning. You know, when the sun's turning dark and the moon to blood and, you know, everything's kind of shaking and coming down. What does it say? It says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To me, it's kind of like the world as the thief on the cross, you know, in that place when everything's coming down, everything's shaking. The book of Hebrews says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in that place, how kind is the Lord? He says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's like the world will be the thief on the cross and will cry out, and the Lord will say, yes. That easy, like that quick. I think, you know, and Count Zinzendorf goes into it about how the thief didn't really have time to think about it that much, you know? Like he didn't have the luxury of like thinking about this and letting the enemy get in there and sow deep doubts, you know? Like when we're not in that distressed place, right? We might let our mind go and believe the lies of the enemy and go, oh yeah, maybe, you know, maybe he's really not a king. Maybe he's not who he says he is, and then we just, you know, go down this path of the enemy. But the thief on the cross, and there's something about the clarity you can have in the place of distress. And there's something about the clarity you can have like on your deathbed, you know, like people on their deathbed, like this kid who got shot in Livermore the other day, just broke my heart. I don't know if he was saved. You know, I don't know what his upbringing was. But he had a little time from the ambulance ride to the hospital before he died, you know? And I think in these moments, the Lord just unveils himself with such clarity. Do you want me? I'm right here. Yes, Lord. Like that quick. So you never really know if someone died unsaved, you know, even if they're in a coma or whatever. We don't know. The Lord has his ways of communicating his spirit to your spirit, no matter what situation that person is in, right? And I believe there's such clarity, you know, people who have like fatal diseases, you know, they get clarity on what's really important. And so this thing about faith in distress and like there's a clarity on it. There's a clarity on that type of, when you're in a crisis, things get more clear. And so I wanted to bring out another passage out of 2 Peter. I think it's, let me look it up again. 2 Peter 4. Verse 12. Oh no, 1 Peter, sorry. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then he just goes on. But do not think it strange when the fiery trial is to try you. So all of us go through the fiery trials, whatever that might be. And just thinking, even like, at the family level, how much do we go through in our closest relationships, And maybe to everyone else, you look like the happy family, Oh, these people don't have any problems. I have problems, but these people just have it all together. It's like, no. That is not true. Because it's like, we're also broken. That interaction with each other, it's like a fiery trial, right? So there is no, there is no one who does not have fiery trials. I mean, and how can we compare one to the other? I mean, I'm sure other people go through more than me. But, it's like the Lord knows what he's doing in his leadership with each person, right? And so it's not, we can't, in a sense, look at someone else, do the comparison and go, why did God, give them all the good things and I suffer with this or that, It's like, no, we all have fiery trials. And this is what's interesting is like, I know like as a parent and a teacher, like those who you are have a burden to pray for, like constantly, your spouse, there can be deep pain in your heart over what's going on, with someone else's heart, not even just between you, but just like the processing God that we all go through, the shaping, the conformity, the transforming, we all go through a painful process to mature and advance in the Lord, and even more pain if we're going the other direction, right? So if someone you love is going the other direction, how much pain does that cause everybody in the circle, right, of influence? So painful. So last staff meeting, I had this picture, and it applies again today, but picture I had was a corn maze. And in a corn maze, you're going through it, and you can't really see, and you hit many dead ends. Dead end, come back out, go a different way, right? And the picture I had was the Lord, like, it's kind of like the divine corn maze, that we are all in and that we know our loved ones are in, people who we're praying for, who we're burdened for. We can trust in the Lord that they're going to hit the dead end where it's not his path and turn around and eventually find the path, right? And so we have to trust God in these things. And so know that your prayers avail. Your prayers avail. Like this person might be in the corn maze, like, and it's seeming like a long time, like they're literally not taking the right path every time and going to like a different dead end, right? But God's like, yeah, but eventually they're going to come around to the right path. I'm going to help them, And that our prayers avail. So we have to know that and that God is doing a work. And so when we're praying for someone else, if I know in my family there's nieces, there's nephews, there's people we're praying for that are like, seem to be like, whoa, they're like, wait, what happened, And that we're not just praying for them. And what happens when we pray and press in for someone? And we think we're just like praying for one person or whatever. No, we are gaining a place of intercession and a place of prayer.
that has so much ramification in the spirit realm. So when we pray in the place of distress, which God allows us to be in these fiery trials and places of distress, those prayers are very powerful. We pull on heaven like no other time when we are in distress over something. We pull on heaven because it's so painful. And we're not just praying for that person, but we're actually gaining authority in the spirit. And we're gaining authority in the spirit that can not just help that one person, but can help many, many, many people. Because we are increasing in the place of intercession with the Lord as he's praying with us at the throne, the great intercessor. So we're not just praying for our own kid or niece or nephew. We're praying for a generation. And as we get the Lord's heart for one, we're going to get the Lord's heart for all of them. I'm amazed how much my kids bring over other kids to my house all the time. And I feel like, oh, I love them. Why is that? Well, that's the Lord. You know, I didn't raise these kids. But my heart goes out to them. Well, that's God, right? If you gain a place of intercession praying for one person, you're going to love them all. Like you're gaining a place of intercession that can affect an entire generation. So if the Lord is allowing us to go through what we're going through, maybe we have a family member who is in the corn maze, just like continuing to go like they're, you know, off. We have to know that God's purpose in that is that we pray with him. We hurt with him. We are in distress with Christ over that. And that we become one with God in that prayer. And that prayer is going to affect many, many others. So he lets us, he even orchestrates the corn maze, you know? We're like, Lord, all these kids are in the same family. Why does this one go that way? They all heard the same gospel message, right? Growing up. God's like, I have a plan in that. Because he moves by the power of his spirit. So even though we give our kids the truth, we give them the gospel message, right? It has to be a move of the spirit that really gets them, right? It's a move of the spirit. And so maybe that move of the spirit either hasn't happened, or maybe it was like, the seed that fell on the thorny ground, right? And the world choked it out. I mean, there's lots of different ways to think of it. But God is still in control. Mm-hmm. And so he can get that seed out of the thorny ground and put it in the good soil. Mm-hmm. And he allows, maybe doesn't move on this kid's heart early on, or maybe he does but it was the thorny ground. And he allows that. Why? Because he has a plan that's bigger than the situation at hand. The plan is so much bigger that we all benefit from. We gain that place of authority. We get in that prayer of distress that avails. And we not only help that one person get pulled out by joining prayers with Jesus in his distress. He weeps. There is weeping in heaven. The Lord Jesus weeps over every single lost soul. And so just know that it's bigger than your situation. Same with our other types of relationships. You know, kids, parents, spouse, relationship. What happens when you gain the place of authority, right? And we do that through prayer, through denying ourselves. Taking up our cross, like forgiving 70 times 7. That's the ways of the Lord, that we forgive 70 times 7, right? That's what we must do. We forgive 70 times 7, and all the while there's something being gained in the place of intercession that is bigger than your situation, that's going to help many, many more people. if we yield to the Holy Spirit day in and day out in the painful process, the fiery trials, why should we be surprised when these things are happening to us? They do happen to everyone. No matter what we appear to think, when we look at somebody else and we think, oh, their family is perfect. No. Every single person goes through these fiery trials. Whatever it looks like, you can't really put yourself in someone else's shoes very well, you know? But the Lord sees all. He sees all the situations. He can put himself in your shoes. Like, that's powerful. God understands. He understands the fiery trials. He went through all. This is why it's so important to meditate on the cross as much as you possibly can. Because whatever you're going through, he went through more. If you're suffering rejection, he was rejected more. You know, and so on. And so all of our fiery trials, like even family members, can you imagine his own family at some point wasn't really believing, right? Even how much pain was in the heart of Jesus, like even concerning his being misunderstood by the people closest to him. So he's been through more, he understands more. So we look at the cross and then we take our suffering and we join it to him. And in that place, we become so much in union with Christ. So that was really what I had this morning, is that know that your prayers avail in these places of distress, and that it's bigger than your situation, that you're gaining a place of authority in the Spirit, right? When you come through on the other side, it's amazing how God can use you to heal a bunch of other people. You're like, oh, I went through something like that. Let me share my story. Let me pray with you. That's what God does. And that's how we get united to each other too in the body of Christ. You know, because we all like to be islands, you know. I'll take care of myself, you know. But it's like, that's not the ways of the Lord. We're one body. Like what Claire prayed this morning. We're one body. So everything's affected when, you know, when we're in pain, the whole body's in pain, right? So let's close up in prayer, and then I'll open it up if anyone has a thought or something they would like to share. But Lord, we lift up right now to you, God, our distressful situations, Lord. The fiery trials that we go through, whatever those are, we lift up those people, God, that are on our heart that really put us into stress. There's pain. And we just lay them at the foot of the cross, even now, Lord. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move on their heart, God. We can only do so much. We can give them truth. But it's by the power of your Spirit that you move a soul. And sometimes you move early, like in the womb with John the Baptist. Sometimes you move late in life. And there's reasons for how you let people go through this corn maze. You see it all. You see the big picture. You understand the chess game of many, many levels, Lord. We don't. We only see what's in front of us. So God, right now we want to trust you for these distressful situations. We want to be humble, God, forgiving, loving, forgiving 70 times 7. God, we want to believe you that you see the big picture, and that if our prayers have not been answered yet for a person, you're letting it, that there's something in the process, that it's working in us, that must be worked in us. And so, Lord, we stay in the process with you. Thank you. We don't believe the lies of the enemy, that you don't care or that you're not answering. No, you hear. You're praying with us. You will answer. High Count Zinzendorf says the faith in distress prayer is infallible. You will answer it. You hear it. God, I pray that we would know that we know that and trust you with it, Lord. And that there's a much bigger picture going on than what we can see or know, that you are taking us through, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we don't really like that distress is the way, Lord. Even the whole world will come under great distress. But what do you say? You said all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's clarity in this place of distress. Lord, even the whole globe will come under the weight of the gospel, the government of Jesus. The whole world will come under shaking because all the idols will begin to tumble. And he will appear on the scene. And there will be great distress. However, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you're so merciful, God, to let us be in the place of distress, for that is where our prayers avail even more. Even more. It's where we gain a place of authority in prayer like no other place. I wish it were a different way, Lord. But you know, Lord, you yourself were in distress. You walked the earth in distress, being in pain for people. The cross wasn't just one day. The cross was your whole life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, I pray you bring comfort to our souls in these words, God, in these scriptures, and that we would know that our prayers avail, God. These prayers of distress are infallible. They will be answered. God has the corn maze. He will stop people and turn them, even though it seems like it's taking a long time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, we just give you all of this pain. And we know that faith, hope, and love is always increasing. Always. Because this is your kingdom. These are the substances of your kingdom. And your kingdom is ever increasing and will forever increase. Whereas evil has no substance. It's only in agreement that it exists. It's only in the will of a person or an angel that evil can exist in the agreement. But it's non-substantial. Whereas faith, hope, and love, these things are substantial. They last forever. The mercy of God is infinite. His judgment is measured, but his mercy is infinite. Thank you, Lord, that you put a demarcation, Lord. You said the wages of sin is death, and you hemmed in sin as far as it could only go so far. The wages of sin is death. It ends there. So evil is so non-substantial. But faith, hope, and love are always increasing. So let us have great courage. Not look at the news too much. But let us look at our Bibles and you, Lord. Because faith, hope, and love are always, always increasing. So God, we thank you for what you're doing. God, we pray that those who are seemingly trapped in the corn maze, Lord, we pray, God, that you would help them and that you would move by the power of your Spirit and do something in their innermost being that we cannot do. So we ask you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.